you want to be important, wonderful. If you want to be recognized, wonderful. If you want to be great, wonderful. But recognize that he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. That's a new definition of greatness. This morning, the thing that I like about it, by giving that definition of greatness, it means that everybody can be great. Because everybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and your verb agree to serve. You don't have to know about Plato and Aristotle to serve. You don't have to know Einstein's theory of relativity to serve. You don't have to know the second theory of thermodynamics in physics to serve. You only need a heart full of grace.
Yes, sir.
Soul generated by love. You can be
we,
that servant.
The people declare today that the most evident of truths, that all of us are created equal, is the star that guides us still, just as it guided our forebears through Seneca Falls and Selma and Stonewall, just as it guided all those men and women, sung and unsung, who left footprints along this great mall, to hear a preacher say that we cannot walk alone, to hear a king proclaim that our individual freedom is inextricably bound to the freedom of every soul on earth. It is now our generation's task to carry on what those pioneers began.
This is the Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show, your destination for the best in social and political straight talk. And now, here's your host, Miss Tanya Free.
Today is Wednesday, January the 20th. Welcome to the Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show. I am Tanya Free, joined by my wonderful friends, former Richmond Councilman Bill Johnson. How are you?
Hello, lady. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. And also with us is Nathan Thomas. How are you?
Doing pretty good yourself. Thank you for having me again.
Well, thank you for being here. And also with us is Pete Chavis. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for inviting me again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And also with us is Reverend Willie Woodson. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. It's a delight to be here with you.
Well, thank you all for being here. And also here today is Antoinette Baylor, who is behind the scenes, along with Marcus Evans and Mr. Free. Thank you all for being here today, and want to also welcome our listeners. Want you to join the conversation. We welcome your comments and opinions. Phone lines are open, 804-321-1010. Our toll-free number, 844-321-1010. You can text us at TanyaFree63975, or if you're on your phone, 712-832-2784. Thanks to our friends at AM/FM 247, okay? Monday, we honored the life and legacy of Dr. King, activist, humanitarian, and leader of the civil rights movement. Dr. King dedicated his life to bring about equality and justice for all of us. One of the things he fought against the Jim Crow and segregation, and he was about nonviolence and being peaceful. And one of the things I remember the most is the Montgomery boycott, where we boycotted the buses for 381 days. Now, if we try to get us to boycott anything now, that would be another story, of course. My question to you all now, if Dr. King was alive, how do you think he would respond to the number of unarmed black men being shot by police officers? Bill?
Oh, I think he would be as outraged as the rest of us. It is a national tragedy that the culture is so ingrained and so deep that these folk can do this and get away with it.
Okay.
I feel that he would just be, and I think he would take up that cause to look at it nationally. Mm-hmm. It is more grave than anything, the Ku Klux Klan, anything that we have ever endured is what is going on now, and they are getting away with it. Needs to and will be addressed. I just think he would have been at the forefront of this march.
Okay. Nathan?
I'm exactly, what Mr. Johnson just said. But even more, he would have, pretty much made his statements. He would have gone out and organized folks, but he would in turn pretty much galvanize us as a nation because of the network that he had at that present point in time that doesn't exist now all around the country. So where we see different pockets of people coming together and organizing, and you have a lot of unknown local leaders, you would have a national figure that would basically bring all of these folks together. And he knew the buttons to push on the prominent individuals within the country to basically get their attention. And he knew how to pretty much pull on the purse strings of the folks that it would definitely affect if you came together and you, like you were talking about, boycotting and marching and those different types of things that really need to be done in order to make a difference and get the word across as far as Black Lives Mattering and not having all of these police officers getting away with this murder and crimes that they're committing. It's just senseless. It really is.
Okay.
Ms. Free, before you go to the other side of the table, my friend here, he looks kind of young. He has no gray hair.
I keep my hair cut close. It's a little bit.
But even Dr. King did not have an autonomous organization. Mm-hmm. Malcolm X and all these others that were out there had different approaches toward the same goal. He did not have a lock on it. He was the most visible.
Right.
He was the one most palatable to the status quo because he was not violent or radical.
Right.
And he tried to appeal to their greater good, whereas Malcolm said, by any means necessary, which frightened them.
Right.
Stokely Carmichael and those fellows and the Black Panthers, they won't hear it. They say, pick up a brick, what you got to do, get at it. So just to say, there is no all or nothing approach. It's every shoulder to the wheel. Any good general that leads an army know that the cavalry does not do the same thing that the infantry does, and the infantry does not do what the tank corps does. Everybody has a role to play in the fight, and
but
we need
do
to
you
keep
think
that in mind.
Dr. King would have allowed us to get where we are now?
We are where we are now because of Dr. King. More of us have gotten out of the box. It is those that, of us who have been left behind.
But I thought you don't think we're off course from where he was trying to lead us? And
no, I think we've come a long way.
We've come a long ways, but I think still, I think we're off course. Do you think that with the Trayvon Martin or the first death by a police officer that it would have been multiple after that? You don't think Dr. King would have stepped out in a totally different direction? He would have been the Black Lives Matter in a different in his time or in this time.
I'm going to try to hold this thing in and try to help understand.
Okay.
Reverend Woodson knows that when a preacher get off, he'll go all the way around, but he'll bring you back to the same place where you were. We have succeeded as Black folk, but once we got our piece of the pie, we rolled out of here. We got out of here just as quick. We went to the gated community just as quick. We got into integrated just as quick.
But how do we forget how to fight? When I say fight, meaning that what I just said, you can't get us to protest as much as we need to protest and boycott all at the same time for all that has happened.
I think that's human nature. Human nature in the context that we have become so accustomed to the liberties in which we have experienced within the last four decades. Prior to that, we were not privy to these kinds of liberties.
Yes.
Therefore, we had to come together. We had to galvanize ourselves as a community. So today, in the context of being comfortable with our progress, we have not advocated the injustices that exist as they did four decades ago. And secondly, Dr. King was the drum major.
Mm-hmm.
He was the voice. But there were men and women who worked along with him.
Correct.
In many instances, we don't hear the names.
No. Well, that's my point. I don't think Dr. King would have allowed us to get comfortable.
No.
He would not have allowed us to get comfortable, and I believe he would have passed the torch on once he got to the point where he couldn't carry it. He would have passed the torch on.
The torch was passed on, and I guess this is a sensitive spot for me. The torch was passed on, but we misunderstood our purpose in handling the torch. Integration, for example. integration for Dr. King did not signify or had the intention to forget our businesses, mm-hmm. our schools, but the purpose of integration was not to hinder the African-American community to engage in the economic enterprise of this nation. Integration, according to Dr. King's thinking, says that if my children chooses to matriculate at a particular school, do not hinder my children. And I think we misunderstood that whole issue of integration.
Okay.
We misunderstood the whole idea of being able to participate in the political process.
Okay.
We misunderstood and misinterpreted what it meant or what it means
so
for us.
So we lost
us.
Our way.
Well, let's not be too hard.
I don't say we lost
you know,
our way.
I think we know, okay? Yeah. I'm blessed. I was able to come up out of the ghetto. But I've got family and friends who are still there.
Exactly.
And if anything happened to them, I know it. If they get hurt, I feel it. And when I was in the position, I couldn't come out there and say, well, I'm going to do this for you, boo-boo, and I'm going to do this for you, Ray-Ray. But I'm going to try to do something that all of you can grab a hold of this rope.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to push the door, but I can't drag you through it.
Right.
And I think what has happened, that we have not identified a cause, a purpose, voting mm-hmm. rights, mm-hmm. access, public access, mm-hmm. and voting rights, they were the cause of the day. Today, it is social justice. They have given us an opportunity to live in the suburbs, but if you're not identified when you're riding through there, you could get shot for being there.
I guess I have to disagree. Jump in here, Pete. Help me out.
Well, I just want to say this. I don't think that Dr. King would be surprised at all because the difference is social media today. The same things were happening back in the day. We were getting hung. And I don't think he'd be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I do think, and that's my personal opinion, because things were happening back
right.
then.
Right.
We just didn't have social media, so we didn't have instant access to it. But I do think that Dr. King's intentions were really good. I feel, as the pastor here said, I feel that when the torch was passed, and the torch was passed, mm-hmm. I feel that his intent was not followed through.
Okay.
And therefore our leaders did not signify his intent to the populace to be that torch that inspires us to be proactive.
Okay.
Tanya?
Go ahead.
As Brother Johnson has said earlier, I'm a little bit younger, but I'm not that much younger. I was born on April the 2nd, 1968. I was 2 days old when the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee. So for me, anything that's out there in reference to Dr. King and the things that he did mm-hmm. is a history lesson. It's something for me to study and something for me to learn from looking back at, what has happened in the past. And I say that because these gentlemen here, they were blessed with the opportunity to see the progress, to see what was going on, where I can only go back to looking at TV footage to see the injustices. Now, looking at what we have for today, as far as today's society and today's youth, and when I say youth, I'm saying, from folks in their 40s on down to our children,
mm-hmm.
they don't even know anything realistically about Dr. Martin Luther King outside of what's been told to them. And you have such a disconnect now with youth because, like I said, although I'm younger than the gentleman here, I'm thinking about, my younger brothers.
You use that
on me all day. Not at all. I respect your wisdom. I look at it from the perspective of anything that you guys tell me, I'm going to absorb and take in so I can carry this on with me and share this with my children and have them share it with their children and anybody else that wants to listen to me.
I wish we had more young people that had your mindset.
And I wish we did too. But what I'm saying is you look at it from the perspective of, you're talking about we haven't lost our way. overall, as a whole, I think black people, we have definitely progressed since those days.
Right.
We have definitely found avenues for us to succeed and to have some type of social status, to have, you know, economic status. Some of us have found ways to become wealthy, you know. But at the same time, you have a huge pocket of folks who don't know which way to turn.
Right.
And most of the, and a lot of that comes from the lack of knowing your history, because if you don't know your history, you don't know where you're going.
Exactly.
You don't even understand that the things that are going on right now, pretty much like Mr. Chavis has said, was going on back then.
Exactly.
I mean, I can sit here and think of days, you know, going back into the early 1990s, you know, when I was just getting out of college, and I would go over to the East End, Churchill, with one of my younger brothers, and go play basketball. And if a carload of four or five of us was riding, coming from the basketball court together, we would get pulled over by the police. And we were just going to play basketball.
Right.
So that stuff was going on then. It was going on back in the 60s.
Right.
It was going on in the 40s. It was going on in the 20s. It was even worse before then.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going on now. So it's the lack of understanding the history and understanding where we've come from with the younger generation, which is now causing such a huge uproar. And realistically, this could truly be the beginning of the new civil rights movement, going back to looking at what did Dr. King stand for. But we have to broaden our scope and not look at it so narrow with just us, people of color.
Right.
Because it, at the end of the day, there are not enough of us to make an international, forget national, to make an international difference. Because the world looks at us and they're like, wow, y'all black people are going through some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime that, you know, you have folks from ISIS sending, you know, messages out saying, black people, come join us and unite.
Mm-hmm.
Because you guys are going through all kinds of hell.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
It would be better for you to be with us and fight against that oppression that we're fighting against.
And that's the other thing. Dr. King reached out beyond just black people.
Yeah.
Jews, Christian, you know, rich, poor, the whole nine yards. What is it that we don't do that now today? I mean, to, from what I can see.
Well, realistically, the minimization of the institution of church in the United States.
Okay.
You have to look at it from this perspective. When you talk about religions, you know, religions all around the world, if you, you know, if you look at just, okay.
We're still segregated.
Yeah, well, you look at it this way. Muslim religion, you look at Hindu, you know, pretty much any other particular religion around the world, and you look at Christianity. If you look at the way the different cultures approach their religion and how important it is to their society, and I'm not trying to bash Christianity in any way, I'm just speaking facts. Christianity is probably the most forgiving religion out of all of them. Everybody else lives really strict to the guidelines and rules of their religion, praying five times a day, certain foods you eat and you don't eat. The way you treat your family, all the different things, even to down to the oppression of, you know, the women in Saudi Arabia of wearing, you know, the mask and the clothes all the way down to their feet.
We should
and you know,
okay,
you that's something
some,
that could be debated. That's something that could be debated. Of course, I know you're going to get a lot of you know, feedback in a negative sense from some of the females, but, you know, that's something that could be debated. But if you understand what I'm saying, with Christianity being such a forgiving religion, then that's how you get so many different opinions and so many different angles
interpretations
of
how people how we practice Christianity.
And as a nation as a whole, we don't show the same respect to the other religions. That's why we're going through this madness during this presidential election
this
year
Muslim
with
thing.
You know, folks yelling about Muslim this, Muslim that, and being scared of Muslims. Heck, school system getting shut down in your own state of Virginia because they wanted to teach them some calligraphy.
Okay.
That's
a
insanity.
A totally different perspective as to those that are older. What you know?
But,
look
but
at
I
that.
Think, but in the context of Christianity, grandma and grandpa, in addition to the word, that was an ethos. That was a principle that went beyond just the Bible. It was something innate in their persona and their personality.
Morality, that's what it is.
Yes.
Morality. And that's one thing that society is missing. I spoke to, I was talking to some folks, I'm always talking to folks, but I was talking to some folks in reference to this about a month ago. Just looking at just entertainment now, as far as TV and music and everything. And you go back to 20 years ago, you go back to 30 years or 40 years ago. there's one thing, one phrase now that you tell me, how do you even give a definition for it anymore compared to how things have changed? Deviant behavior.
Okay.
Think about how many things was considered deviant behavior 20 years ago.
Okay. Well, hold that thought. We got to take a break.
Right.
Our praise break, We Shall Overcome by Bishop Paul S. Moore, and sponsored by the Metropolitan Day School. Free. 2016 is here, and the second semester is approaching. Have your child's grades been affected by behavior problems? Are you tired of calls from the principal and frequent suspensions? Get your child back on track before it's too late. Counseling and school programs in the home and community. Give Ms. Thomas a call today, 804-321-2595. The Metropolitan Day School and Counseling Services, 804-321-2595.
Put your business on the map for a lot less than you might think with Freedom Marketing. Give them a call at 844-321-1010.
Call the Metropolitan Day School today. Licensed and accredited grades K through 12. Call 804-321-2595. Financial assistance and after-school programs are available. Let's turn this school year around right now at the Metropolitan Day School, where eagles soar. Call Ms. Thomas today, 804-321-2595.
What is New Orleans Talk Network? It's today's hottest topics with an added flair. You get ready, because the conversation will be hot, and better yet, mobile. Download the New Orleans Talk Network app, available on Android, iPhone, iPad, and you can listen to us on the web at www.neworleanstalknetwork.com. Write down our talk line at 504-341-TALK. That's 504-341-8255. Interactive and worldwide. That's what we are. Join in on the real conversation and tell a friend about the New Orleans Talk Network.
Join me, Ty Bailey, on Just Jazz, the weekly jazz program aired on Saturday nights from 9 until 11 p.m. Just Jazz showcases the best in jazz, current releases, reissues, and selections from past great recordings. It's here on the Tanya Free and Friends Radio Network at tanyafree.com. Just Jazz is also streamed 24 hours a day at tybailey.com.
Reclaiming the Drum, WMXP 95.5 FM, Greenville's People Powered Radio. Reclaiming the Drum.
I don't want no somebody to give me nothing. Open up the door, I'll get it myself. I don't give me integration, give me true communication. I don't give me sorrow, I want equal opportunity to live tomorrow. Give me schools and give me better books so I can read about myself and gain my true looks. I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Open up the door, I'll tell them myself. Do you hear me now? I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Open up the door, I'll tell them myself.
Join the conversation. Phone lines are open right now at area code 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 coast to coast.
We're going to go straight to the phones. We got Real Brother on line one. How are you, friend? Hold on 1 second. Go ahead. We can hear you now. Go ahead. Real brother, call right back. Real brother,
yeah.
Go ahead. I think we can hear you now.
The last week's show was about how a lot of black people were upset because Obama was successful and he didn't fail on the race. He didn't.
Real brother, you're breaking up. Can you call right back?
Okay, I can call back.
Yeah, your phone is breaking up. Let's go to Earl on line two. Earl, how are you?
I'm doing just great.
Good.
This was a God intervention because hopefully what I'm saying is leading in from the song you just played, Open Up the Door, and Dr. King, who you're honoring today, his last People's Campaign created that situation with the Hood Act of 1968. Y'all know that's my thing.
Oh, okay.
And that's where he allowed the door to be open for us to economically get the contract. Where our problem is that I'm trying to get y'all to galvanize to understand now we got to get into the door and make it happen, just like our civil right. See, once we got our civil liberties, we had to fight, and now fighting to maintain it. It's the same thing with our voting rights. Because we didn't fight for them, they ain't give it to us. And it's the same thing with this HUD Act, Section 3. Many of you have read in the paper, well, RHA has acknowledged noncompliance 2007, 2009, and then 2015. Dr. King knew low and very low income is about your income, not color, so they can't say that. But that money for the economic development, the East End transaction, transformation, this is how he chose, and President Johnson, to be able to provide the funds, open up and let them get it themselves by awarding them the contracts, because they do qualify and can do it, to do the work, to get the income, to have the annual income, to then stay in the now newly properties that's being destroyed and then rebuilt, to maintain it. We got to stand up, because that's awareness is what is not there. And so if we're going to honor him, let's continue to benefit from what he did, but we got to benefit from the economic empowerment, and that's the awareness. Some of our leaders know about it, but until we open up that door and kick it in, they're not going to say nothing, just like our civil rights and voting rights.
Okay. Thank you, Earl. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. Okay. We got Real Brother on line one again. Real Brother.
Okay. I hope you can hear me better this time.
Yes, much better.
All right. But what I was saying was, is that we were talking about last week how the brothers were upset because Obama was successful and the racists didn't kill him like they did Dr. King. And it brings to the point that the bottom line is, if you're wrong, then you're going to be wrong, and you're going to be mad because you were wrong. So in terms of moving forward or what Dr. King would do, Dr. King would support Obama. Why? Because Dr. King would support success. Dr. King wouldn't be mad because they didn't kill Obama. He wouldn't be mad because they thought white people were superior and Obama was successful. Dr. King wouldn't be mad at that. Dr. King wouldn't think that we needed socialism, that he needed to be Bernie Sanders. Dr. King would support Obama.
Just of course, like now, I can agree with you that. I mean, why wouldn't he? Why would you even, you know, make that statement that he wouldn't?
But Dr. King did support socialism.
Well, because Scotty Reed and them don't. The black people who aren't supporting Obama are saying, oh, I know Dr. King would support Obama. How stupid is that? If Dr. King would support Obama and you support Dr. King, then why wouldn't you support Obama? That doesn't even make sense.
Okay.
But what really happening is, if you made the wrong decision, that you supported Bernie or you supported Ron Paul or some other nut or Hillary, you're mad because your candidate lost and Obama won.
Okay.
And so the point that I'm making is, if you're wrong, if we're wrong right now, and and white people are not superior, we shouldn't be protesting. We should be putting them in prison for killing people.
Brother, let Nathan respond to what you're saying. Nathan, go ahead.
The circumstances are somebody who's right doesn't boycott the Oscars, but makes their own award show.
Okay, real brother, slow down. Let us catch up with you. Go ahead, Nathan.
Well, real brother, thanks for calling in today. And, you were talking about folks being, Dr. King being happy and supporting President Obama and folks not being happy about his success and everything. It really isn't a situation about President Obama's success. And I think some of the backlash that President Obama gets is going to be either from folks who are completely opposed to anything that he does, let alone views, and that goes all the way down to the color of his skin.
Mm-hmm.
And folks are upset with him because they don't necessarily feel that he has done enough for the black community in being an African-American president. So
right.
I understand exactly what you're saying as far as the backlash. But here's the difference. Here's the flip side of it.
Wait a minute,
Dr. Wrong. King. With
right.
Dr. King.
Do you at least agree with me?
I agree with you. I agree with you on some of the stuff. But I just want
people, because he didn't let the racists kill him.
Wait a minute, real brother. Let him finish. Real brother, let him finish. Go ahead, Nathan. Real brother, please.
Let him finish. Here's the thing. With President Obama, the difference between President Obama and Dr. Martin Luther King, President Obama, of course, first and foremost, is the president of the United States. So needless to say, there's tons and tons more security around him than it would be for Dr. Martin Luther King. Let me finish. With Dr. King, you have to look at the folks. Basically, the situation of Dr. King being assassinated was pretty much based off of the people that feared him,
mm-hmm.
okay? And the folks that feared him are still some of the same people that fear
exactly.
some of the things that President Obama's doing. But
right.
Still hatred, same hatred.
Right. But the fact of the matter is, because President Obama has restrictions upon him, and at the same time, some of these people who probably feared Dr. Martin Luther King, from a financial aspect, probably he has some type of debt to them from the campaign contributions that they probably put into his campaign. They're going to keep him alive because they need him to stay alive to push forth any type of agenda that they may have worked out, or have at least somebody on his staff that have worked something out to get
true,
what they
sir.
Need.
I'm sorry.
Dr. King, he didn't have people in his pocket that he basically had to go out and get something
true?
In from. But once again, he didn't have corporate America.
Right, he wasn't bought
being
corporate pushed. America.
That's not true, though.
Why do you say it's not true?
It's not true because Dr. King was a reverend at the church, and he was getting paid by the church. And to argue that they weren't in his pocket, the people who were paying him.
That's not the same thing as corporate America, brother.
My point. I don't want you to get off my point. My point is, if you are wrong, you're going to be like Scotty Reed and them. You're going to call up upset because you were wrong. Am I wrong or am I right? If you're wrong with what you just said, that Obama
brother, move on to the next point, because there's no way we can continue to.
The racists couldn't kill him.
Yeah,
if you're wrong about it was a corporate thing and that the people trying to kill him are keeping him alive.
Real brother, it's like this.
Wait a minute, real brother. Go ahead, Nathan.
Real brother.
So here's the bottom line. If you're wrong, no matter what you say, if you're wrong, then you're going to be upset because you were wrong. So my argument for black people is listen to me and use the facts, and then you won't be wrong, and then you won't be disappointed.
Okay, well, we'll listen to you on your show, real brother. Tell everybody we listen to you.
You can listen to me at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on YouTube, RBR Network on YouTube.
Okay, we want everybody to call and prove that you're wrong, okay?
There you go. That's fine. But if they're wrong, They're going to be mad. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be supporting Obama and Hillary.
Okay, we'll be listening to your show. Thank you, friend. We appreciate it.
All right, now.
Okay, I don't know.
He's got his points to a certain extent, but then at the same time, you know.
It's his way or the highway.
Right,
yeah,
right,
that's the thing.
And like I said, just getting back to just the side I wanted to say as far as Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, you know, okay, granted the church may have been paying because that was his profession. He was, you know, he was a pastor first, and his duty pretty much was to pretty much spread the word of God and to serve
right.
the community.
Exactly.
And the community was the world. So, yes, he was getting paid to do that, but he carried it even further to push the envelope for achievement, to get things done. And when you push the envelope, you threaten folks. And when you're threatening folks from a financial perspective, when you're threatening folks for a status quo perspective, especially at that day and age, and that's the difference between now and then, times are completely different when it comes down to churches and the impact that it has on the community, that threat is too great for some people. And they're like, we got to shut this boy up.
Right, exactly.
They didn't just shut him up.
Oh, yeah.
They got Kennedy and his brother. They got Mega Evans.
Of course.
It was a whole different era.
And
he was not the only threat.
But they knew that they were committed to the cause.
Right.
I mean,
right.
like I said from the and beginning, nobody, dedicated and, his life.
And nobody was
because
more,
it wasn't was he had several threats, well, many threats on his life.
So we got to look at the times that we were in,
right?
When he was killed, he could pretty much have gotten away with that because they still, you know, in my opinion, didn't get the guy that really did the deed because whoever did it was not by himself. It was a whole force behind that. But that we do digress. Well, one thing I do want to point out is that building on what Dr. King did, we bred inferiority out of our children. We bred it out of them. That they don't look at anybody, like real brothers say, look at what white folks as being superior to them. But they go into offices, they go into job interviews and know that they are discriminated against. Because they didn't come up with the same kind of restraints that we did. They didn't have that. So what they're being perceived as is arrogance. We don't have tattoos all up our necks and earrings all in our nose and our eyebrows and stuff like that. They do. And we have allowed them to experience the freedom. They are now identifying their cause, the cause. And a lot of times they are victim of that cause. So what we need to recognize, we as those over 40,
I'm over 40,
that we have given rise to a culture of young black folk, African American folk, or young folk, period, that are standing on our shoulders, but they're not taking on what we do. I mean, the way we did it. We have given them that freedom.
Well, I think what Nathan said, a loss of our history. And we, once again, I just say we in some ways have lost our way as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, influence actually comes from the home.
Mm-hmm. True.
Well, actually,
which has been decimated.
Right.
The home has been decimated.
Right.
And so, not just black homes. Homes, period. 50% of all marriages end up in divorce.
Well, it started with black households and just as the nature of anything. Just as Dr. Martin Luther King said, you know, we cannot pretty much try to champion our own freedom if we don't look for freedom through all of mankind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if those who wanted to oppress black people wanted to destroy your families and your families are constantly being destroyed, it's just a matter of time before that same mindset infiltrates everyone else around you.
Right.
So that has given rise
to a lot of folk around the world to start the fighting for their individual freedoms. The women's rights movement came after the civil rights movement. Movements in other countries came after the civil rights movement, and it was used as a model. So that verifies what you're just saying. But as far as we as black folk, we have given our kids a kind of a free reign, which more or less is frightening. And when you talk about
it's a mistake
history,
in many ways.
About to, it is. Take, it
yeah,
is,
it is. And the thing is that bothers me, we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to address it. We don't want to talk about our history. One of the things we're going to do here on Tanya Free, we're going to start talking about our history, some part of our history, because if not, it will get lost. Mm-hmm. If not already lost. And the thing is, we don't want to tune into shows that will educate us. We want to look at, you know, all the reality stuff and what have you, you know, stuff that has no purpose. You know, that's one of the things we talk about is purpose. So we'll take a break and come right back.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. And this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check.
I got something in my bones, make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing on. Sing, tell her that heaven ring, ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let her rejoise and rise as high as the listed skies. Let it resound up loud as the roaring sea. Come on, y'all.
Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
Has your health insurance changed, or is it about to change? Are you or did you move to a different state, change jobs, get a divorce, get married, or have a baby? Then you know what? You may qualify for a special health insurance enrollment period for the affordable Obamacare plans. And to find the right plan, you can get free help right now from Health Markets. They'll help you choose the right plan from over 140 different companies, plus help you maximize your Obamacare free government subsidies. Why pay a penny more than you have to for health insurance? Call anytime, day or night, to learn more about the special enrollment period to qualify for Obamacare. Here's our number. 800-296-1140. 800-296-1140. 800-296-1140. That's 800-296-1140. Not available in all states.
Hey there, Big John Trimble here. Thanks to Tanya for freeing up the time to allow me to talk about the Big John Trimble Show. Heard Monday through Friday mornings, 6 to 9, right here on WCLM Radio. Yes, sir, after 57 years, I'm still on the radio and 24-7 on BigJohnTrimble.com. It all originates from our backyard studio over here in Verona. We play a wide variety of requested music from Fats Domino, Chuck Berry, and Donna Washington to George Jones, George Strait, and Loretta Lynn, along with the trivia contest and over-the-fence chats with our listeners from across the Richmond area, across the USA, and sometimes foreign countries. The Big John Trimble Show. It's the most fun you'll ever have with your clothes on.
Join the conversation. Phone lines are open right now at area code 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 coast to coast.
We want our listeners to give us a call and let us know what you think with regards to how Dr. King would have handled things right now and what it is, what do we need to do to continue the fight that he started or, you know, was leading. Phone lines are open, 804-321-1010, or you can text us at Tanya Free 63975. Now, toll free number is 844-321-1010. We were sharing during the break as to how we allow our kids a pass and bringing them up in a manner that they are, I think you used the word privilege.
Yeah, privilege.
Entitled.
Entitled.
Yes, it's really the entitlement aspect of it, and not necessarily entitlement as how politicians like to throw around entitlement, but it's really from, I think, initially from your heart, you know, charge to your heart, not your head, when you're trying to do better for your children than what you've done for yourself, and carrying it further than probably what we really should do, but in the in the heat of the moment with emotions, it's all love at that time.
And we used to go shopping. There was no choice. There was no, I'm going to debate with you whether I'm going to have a $200 pair of tennis shoes. Really? What? You better put them Chuck Taylors on, and we will not have a discussion about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
And it has gotten to almost instant gratification. That's not just our kids. That's young people, period. They want it today.
Yes.
It took a struggle. I mean, we had to march and... Well, there were marches and protests and boycotts and everything. Today, young folk think it's supposed to be like this because I said so. The world has not worked like that in a long time. And we are not going to be able to lead these young people. They're going to have to, number one, you're going to have to get out there. I'm going to tell you. But I cannot show you. Well, life is going to show you. And you're going to have to identify with what I've given you. Number one, you're going out here not feeling inferior. You're not going to feel that way. But you will recognize instantaneously when you are being discriminated against because you're not going to fit in. And then you got to find a way to do that. That's the challenge we face, because I'm very proud of our young people today. When I see them walking down the street with the pants hanging all down, and these young girls with clothes look like somebody done sprayed it on them, it gives me pause. You know, that the different culture of young people today. And it's not just black folk.
Well, I'm just concerned about black people right now.
But I am too.
Okay.
But I'm saying is, in the context of everybody else, young people, period. Because when you look at Black Lives Matter, you don't see the majority of black people playing in the street. They're young white kids.
The difference is you can have folks that are not of color acting a fool, and they still be able to get up and get a job and maintain and succeed. Whereas when our young people go to jail, have a record, it's on their record, and they're scarred for life.
Yeah,
well, that's the difference.
Well, the key
we can't afford to be scarred.
They can go in and they can blend in. I used to sit in court with my job, and I used to see them. The young white boy come out there, and he got caught with a half ounce of marijuana. But when he come there, he got on the blue blazer and the khaki pants, and he got his coach and his pastor and his mom and his daddy. When the young black boy who got caught with even less reefer on him. He comes out there in chains and a jumpsuit.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It is not fair. It is not equal. We cannot look for it to be that way. And this is what needs to be addressed, is how we are treated. And it is not equal.
Well, I think what Pete said, it starts at home.
It does.
You know, I mentioned several times that my mother and father were adamant that we would not be a menace to society. And that's the mindset that we have to have with our kids, because they can't afford to have any blemish of any kind on a record of any kind, for the mere fact that it scars them for life. Look at that kid, that influential kid that killed four people, and how he, in my opinion, has a past. Do you think we could go out and kill four people and be able to walk?
No.
You know?
Not at all.
But because he had money.
Mm-hmm.
Makes a difference.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
But even if we have money,
yeah.
It's still, do you think he would be walking right now today?
No.
If he had been a person of color?
No, of course not.
No one really cared. I'm going to tell you, my father was a good guy. When he come in the house, it looked like the circus was coming to town when he was in a good mood. But when that guy won't happen, you had to find somewhere to go. You had to be somewhere to be. And his mama was even scarier. So, you know what I'm saying? These people thought, I will call the people. Yeah, you call them, because by the time they get here, you're going
to
need them.
Yeah, that's the same with us. But we have to go back to what you were saying, Pete, as to starting in a home with our kids and making sure that they get their education, making sure that they know how to be polite, have some moral values, because that's one thing I think we've lost, moral values.
Well,
and
when you look at, we make up 13% of the population and 70% of the jail population, and the way that men have been.
But that's by design, and then we've fallen into that trap.
But when you talk about families, okay, because there were families when we were coming up, which women were head of the household because the men weren't always there either.
Right.
But we are living in a different time, and there are different kinds of families. And again, we have to talk about there's more than one way to get to the same point. It's putting and instilling things in these kids. I tell my son, I said, baby, a lot of these kids you're going to school with now, they are wearing who they are. You're not getting no $200 tennis shoes. Sorry. It is. This ain't happening.
Right.
Well, he got this and he got that. That's not your problem. But again, we've got to know that there's more than one way to get to the same goal.
Well, you know, in the age that we live in of blended families, and, you know, that's happening, you know, increasingly more, there is a different way that we have to look at things.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be some type of unity amongst our people to rescue those who don't have that. Because what we're talking about in a lot of our neighborhoods are babies who've had babies. Well, they themselves are uneducated. So that lends their children to get their education from other people who are not educated or other people who are not goal-oriented.
Well, when you look at just staying on that point,
mm-hmm.
there has to be an acceptance of, because the church will not accept certain types of blended families. They will not accept if your child was born out of wedlock, they will not baptize that child in the strongest institution that that we have can have these kind of prejudices. And then you wonder why we are disjointed. Start right there.
May I ask a question? Years ago, that was the case.
Right, I agree.
But today, it's different in terms of children being born out of wedlock. Not so much that you agree with it, but there are so many children who are birthed out of wedlock, and they are Christian, baptized as children within the church, at least in the 21st century.
Well, you would think
so. You have a lot of single mothers. Let me ask this question. There used to be a time, and I would get many invitations during the summer for weddings. How many wedding invitations have you all received in the last year or so?
Two.
I got one.
And these guys was remarried. I was one of them.
Yeah, that's low. That's low. I used to get like maybe four or five a year. And it's just amazing. A lot of the people that I know are single mothers.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the numbers have flip-flopped from, if you go back to 50s and 60s, of kids with two parents in the household.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The numbers are exact opposite now. Kids more than likely only have one parent in the household. So that just tells you.
And if you had a child out of wedlock, it would be one. But now it's like three or four. And it's accepted now.
And if you did, they would send you to stay with Auntie Ann in South Carolina somewhere.
Absolutely.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Get you out of town quickly. What
yes,
did she
indeed.
Know?
Yeah.
But now, again, it's accepted.
I think because we have allowed a certain standard to someone diminish. And I think oftentimes we accept certain behavior patterns, certain lifestyles, or certain way people function in the name of love. And I disagree with that, because right is right, wrong is wrong. And we have our children who do some things that are wrong. The boy, he's about 10 years old, and he stays out all night long. That's not right. But you love him just the same.
No, I won't.
You won't love it.
Boss that thing upside the head. Better not come in my house no any kind of way. Look,
but my point is though.
Well, that's true. You got children raising themselves.
No, you ain't coming to my house.
You do.
That's my point.
Yeah, that's the problem.
With no direction.
Right.
But at the same time, 9 times out of 10, just like you were stating before, you're having babies who are having babies. Mm-hmm. So it's basically the norm. It's what they're conditioned for.
Yeah, you're talking about 11, 12 years old.
Right.
Well, I one of my favorite movies is The Color Purple. That's the only movie
my daughter was watching it this weekend.
That make me cry every time I look at it. Mm-hmm. But there was a time when young girls, 12, 13 years old, mm-hmm. would marry an older man to help him in this. So babies been having babies, and what you consider to be a baby, really. You know what I'm saying? It's just something to say. It's not really that. This is an artificial thing that's been put out there, and I didn't mean to get off on that. Mm-hmm. But we need to look at more of an open acceptance within our community. I just shied away from my church, mm-hmm. and I'm looking and currently seeking a new church home because mm-hmm. of the pastor in that pulpit mm-hmm. was intolerant, unaccepting. Mm-hmm. Not that he was directing it at me, but if it directed at anybody, you cannot preach or mm-hmm. teach me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because of the way you're carrying it. It's mm-hmm. not anything that used to be. It's going on to this day. Mm-hmm. To this day, they're discriminated against. If I got a young kid and he wants to be Peter Pan and do creative basket weaving at 8 years old, mm-hmm. guess what? That's what he's going to be. Okay? I don't expect the church to be pointing him out or giving him no hard time or nobody in school mm-hmm. giving him a hard time.
Right.
Because he's going to be Tinkerbell.
Right.
We've got to be more accepting.
As Jesus was with the prostitute.
I'm sorry.
even when Jesus accepted the prostitute, mm-hmm. that was a transformation.
Yeah, it was.
That was a change. Mm-hmm. And he said to her accusers, anyone without any wrong, cast the first stone. Mm-hmm. So I think when we start talking about this kind of doing wrong, making mistakes, sin, is relative. We just don't like to talk about that anymore. Mm-hmm. We just want to be all lovey-dovey and all-inclusive, and we've lowered our standard.
And that's why we've lost our way.
Right, because you're not going to allow me as a minister, knowing that I drink, come to the church, gargle my throat, got a nice buzz, and you're going to let me preach? No, someone will come to me said, Reverend,
well,
we love you, but you got to do something.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You need some help.
Somebody may turn their head and look the other way.
Right.
Yeah, and that happens a lot in the church. We hear about it all the time.
That's been like going back to the destruction of the church and the black community. It's a part of it because of things like that where people are just looking the other way until it gets to a boiling point where folks cannot deal with it anymore, and then it divides and destroys the church.
Yes.
Okay, we got to go to Black Talk Commentary with our friend Scotty Reed.
Let it be. Trouble the water. Let it go.
Just let it go.
Let it be.
When you're weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, He will dry them all. He's on your side. When times get rough and your friends just can't be found, He'll be your friend
over trouble.
United States government honored Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. with a holiday after years of voting it down. As we remember Dr. King, let us also remember what he died fighting for, and that is what is owed to the descendants of enslaved Africans by the United States government. As we see the Bundy clan in Oregon demanding the federal government give federal land to ranchers, let's remember Dr. King spoke about the white privilege and sense of entitlement white males have always felt was owed them, but denied to the African American. When Dr. King spoke on what is owed to the African American, he was murdered by elements working for the United States government.
Just weeks before his murder, in tones suggestive of the Black Panthers, he began to talk about how the government had broken its promise to the newly freed slaves just after the Civil War.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges, government money, to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check.
This has been Scotty Reed with your Black Talk Radio weekly commentary. Find me on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
This is the Tanya Free and Friends Radio Network. Coast to coast, on air, online, and on point.
It's the little store with the big deal. Hall Street Mini Mart at 1314 Hall Street. Roundhouse convenient items. Women and men accessories. Men's suits, hats, and shirts by D&W Fashion. Women pocketbooks and jewelry. Open 7, that's right, 7 days a week from 10 until 7 p.m. Call 232-3384 for more information. That's the little store with the big deal. Hall Street Mini Mart.
WCLM, 1450 AM, Highland Springs, Richmond. The soul of the city is WCLM, 1450 AM.
This is Tanya Free. If it's Monday, it's time for Let's Get Busy with your host, King Salim Kalfani, 4 to 6 p.m. here on the heart and soul of the city, WCLM, 1450 AM. Kick off the week with KSK, Commonwealth Consultation, LLC, for 2 power-packed hours of news you can use. Feature guests, cutting-edge commentary, and more. Let's get busy with King Salim Kalfani every Monday at 4.
Conversation. Phone lines are open right now at area code 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 coast to coast.
Okay, we got a question here by one of our listeners. Why are we elevating King to God status? I wasn't aware that we were doing that.
Well, are you talking about God or Jesus? Jesus was the minister. He was a minister, and he was a prophet, and he was a leader. He was not God. He was manifestation of God. Now, King did the same thing. He was not God, but what he did, his ministry was worldwide, and a lot of people followed him. So as far as in our time, Martin Luther King was as close to Jesus as we knew, and they still tried to emasculate the man, tell all kind of lies on the man, tried to get, and eventually doing the same thing they did to Jesus, they killed him.
Okay, answer that question.
And that wasn't the preacher who said it. Yeah, I think that's a misnomer. Oftentimes when we begin to speak of Dr. King and what he did and the impact he's had on humanity and how he championed our cause, I think some people believe that we're trying to elevate him to the status or to the level of God. That's not the case. He was a prophet chosen for that time to speak for God, mm-hmm. used by God for God's people.
Right, didn't he say he went to the mountaintop? Mm-hmm.
Yes, he said that. And what he saw, he didn't make clear, but he said that he'll get there with us one day.
Right.
But the reality is, there will be other prophets after him. Mm-hmm. I may not be here when this person, be it male or female, be used by God as God used Moses, as God used Elijah, Abraham, Paul, Minister Farrakhan, and even
Muhammad.
And I think Barack Obama. Truth be told.
Well, but Barack Obama has the potential, but not in the same context in which these persons have been used, from my perspective.
Okay.
Because their foundation was both theological and biblical.
Okay.
His is primarily, not solely, but primarily political.
Okay.
And most of the prophets, great leaders, were not primarily political. Even if you had Frederick Douglass, there was still that moral and religious foundation he had when he went forth. Even W.E.B. Du Bois, even though he was a little different religiously, he had that principle. And not to say that President Obama does not have any faith.
Well, I mean,
only
for being the first black president taking it on. Knowing that I guess dangers with doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go to the phones. Reggie?
Hey, Tanya, to your guests, good afternoon.
Hey, how are you?
Good afternoon, Reggie.
You know, I'm sorry to say, maybe I'm just, just a fool, but there have been other black presidents that people don't want to talk about. Eisenhower being one. You look at the book of J. Rogers, Sex and Race, and many of the times we want to sit up here and take the European way of telling our own history. I'm sorry, guys, but, call me a HBCU fanatic, call me HBCU fool, but it seems like we walk away from our own heritage and our history. And we don't even know our own history because we run away from it. Case in point, when you look at what's happening at the Flint, Michigan, had a black woman doing everything she can legally and politically to tell everybody what was going on for 2 years. 2 years. To her people, both black, white, underprivileged, whatever. This was, to me, the same as the Tuskegee experiment. Because look how lead affects the youth. Look how lead affects the elderly. And this was on President Obama's watch. Now, people can get mad at me.
Well, I can't blame that on him. Mm-mm.
Well, I can explain it to you in my opinion.
Okay.
I can blame it on him and his administration because President Obama was the one that tied the Environmental Act about clean air, and he said that his administration was going to champion the environment. Okay, what's going on up there with the water? Is that not the environment? And you cannot sit here and tell me that the bells and whistles weren't going on, and obviously some of the administration dropped the ball. Can you help a brother out?
Okay. All right. Tell him I listen to your show, Reggie.
Every Saturday from 11:45 to 1. And again, shout out to the HBCUs when it came to the Freedom Classic. Virginia Union have a hell of a ladies basketball team, and Sports Talk in 1450 WSM Radio was proud to present them with the I-95 trophy.
All righty, super. Thank you, friend. We appreciate it.
Let me talk to Reggie just a little bit.
Okay.
Reggie's right. When it comes to us talking about black folk, black history is something that we have talked about. I didn't realize that we were on money, but there are silver coins with black folks' images on it. I didn't know you could that they didn't have anything like that. But we do. But when you start talking about the 45 presidents that have led this country that are recognized, Barack Obama is the first. I remember when the Michigan governor took over Flint, Michigan, and took over the mayorship. I mean, just disenfranchised those people. I remember when that happened, which I did not think was fair at all. But when you start about talking about the rules and the regulations and the divisions of powers, state, federal, and local, they are written and they are specific, and you can't just overstep those things. But again, what did we do? Did the black church become resource centers? We're going to step and blame Obama for what's happening in Flint, Michigan, when we ourselves didn't become health centers and start to ringing out this thing as soon as we knew it? And we're going to sit here and blame Obama and the EPA? Yes. And they need to thank goodness that I'm not in charge, because I'm going to tell you, somebody be going to jail, baby. 8,000 kids.
A lot of people need to go to jail behind that.
Yeah, on state, really
you're gonna
on
tell.
A local state, and on
and
a federal level.
That somebody need to go
and
to
it was really
jail.
A pediatrician.
Yeah, it was.
That brought it to the forefront.
Well, yeah,
because they were testing, she was testing blood. And even when, I think it was the governor that did, that spoke to the press, and she was in the background, he was saying stuff, and she was in the background saying no, and that he was telling stuff, saying stuff that was not true.
Yeah.
So there's still a lot of cover-up
going on. It's going to come out. But somebody need to have their head handed to them, and it's not just Flint, Michigan, and what's happening to their
right.
water.
Right.
When you're talking about the coal mines in Appalachia and what they've done to their water and the suffering that those folk are suffering at the same time, we've allowed pollution and large corporations to get away with building subdivisions on toxic sites, pipelines running through our neighborhoods, overhead power line. We've allowed these people to get away with murder.
Well, and let me say this. Reggie mentioned the mayor, who's a sister, and I saw her being interviewed, and I was angry. And even the person that was interviewing her was angry because she was speaking in circles. She was not forthcoming. Mm-hmm. She was speaking in circles. And I was just dumbfounded that I'm like,
she's protecting her own interests.
Yeah, I'm like, what the heck?
If anything, President Obama should round them all up.
Well, she was meeting with him. In fact, she's meeting with him today.
I'm sure.
And I'm
is.
Like, why is she going? Why not the governor? The governor should have been meeting with the
Since
president.
He's in charge. Yes, he should. Well,
yes, he should have been meeting. He had his State of the Union address last night, I believe, and he called himself, you know, being forthcoming and admitting that they screwed up. Well, you got kids now that have already been affected by this whole thing. Yeah, go ahead, Nathan.
This has been going on for a couple of years. But going back to what the young man was saying, as far as blaming President Obama because it was under his administrative watch, I'm going to go, since we're on the history lesson of the day, I just want to take you back in time, and I want you to just take this one quote from President John F. Kennedy. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, as Brother Johnson was saying here, it's about the people locally. It's up to them. It's their responsibility to start making things happen when you see right up under your nose everything is going wrong in your community.
Mm-hmm.
You have to start with your local community first. You can't necessarily blame the president because, as we were saying before, the bureaucracy between the federal and local and state government,
right,
that you cannot supersede or step over those bounds.
Right.
You know, now the president is doing the right thing now and going and addressing this and putting the heat under all of those folks' butts to get this whole thing straight.
Calling the state of emergency now.
Right. And finding out who's responsible for all of this, because obviously there was a huge disconnect between all of these different agencies and people passing the buck and pointing fingers and nobody doing anything about it for a very long time.
Well, let me piggyback on what you just said. The people getting involved, when they start to taste the water and see that it looked different, they should have been calling the press, should have been jumping up and down, because it went on after the water was changed from one system to another, that they were in the midst of trying to save money as well as change the system from one system to another. And the residents started to get the smell and the taste, a different smell and the taste in the water. And it went on for about a year before anything actually happened. But it still would be going on now had it not been for the pediatrician, because they were still trying to cover it up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, so the people should have been jumping up and down, calling the media, calling the president if they had to, if they noticed something different about the water. You know, so, you know, the people hold some responsibility, too.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah,
and hold some responsibility. The accountability.
People, I think we have to help sensitize the people. There's power within the people.
And let's not get too self-righteous here, because I grew up in houses that had lead paint. I grew up with cars were passing in the streets that had lead in the gasoline, which we were breathing in. Yeah. Now, this is something that was just done to us. But we need to look at these types of environmental issues that we've been victim of all our lives.
Well, let me say this. This is one of the things we talk about, segregation and integration. This is the problem I have with segregation, because it allows it to be easy for a certain group of people to be targeted for things of this nature. And like it's been said before, that this would not have happened in a, you know, upscale neighborhood because they have access to means, you know, to bring about better conditions.
Well,
and the fact that this happened to a poverty-stricken area, you know, like I said, had it not been for the pediatrician, this would still be going on.
It's about money. But,
It's about
people don't care. Well, it was a
poverty-stricken area. Do you think this would have happened in an upscale area?
And that's what I'm saying. If it's
they would not have allowed that water system to be changed the way that they were forcing to be changed in order to save money. They did it because of that area. Nobody cared. Probably folks didn't, you know, wasn't paying attention until they can smell and taste the water. The difference. But still, they didn't do anything until the pediatrician started, you know, bringing it to the
you've
forefront.
You've got white communities that are built on a toxic waste dump. And they had to go in and buy all those people's houses. It's the same thing. It happens. It's not black and white. It's green. Now, these folk here are segregated. And we did not step up.
Right. That's my point.
The bottom line is about money, period. But it's a whole lot easier for you to discriminate on folks who are less fortunate and don't have the economic power as somebody else.
Hold that thought. Our smooth jazz break is Oh Happy Day by Ramsey Lewis, sponsored by Hong Kong Tailors.
Tanya Free. Hong Kong Tailors at 3200 West Broad has been catering to your needs for over 40 years. Custom-made suits, shirts, pants, coats, and more. Need that special outfit today? No problem. Visit their extensive selection of ready-made fashion and accessories for both men and women. The smart way to shop and a better way to dress. Mention Tanya Free and receive a 10% discount on your next purchase. That's Hong Kong Tailors, 3200 West Broad, 804-359-5441.
Hello, my name is Nika. Martin Luther King today would not like the black on black crime that's going on today in America.
Hi, this is Miss Cece. I think Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. would be happy to see how things are now because people are getting along better and people are appreciating each other, and now we have the gays are allowed to marry each other, which is a progress. And although we have come a long way, we still have a way to go yet. So I think although he would be pleased to see the progress that's happening, I think he would be a little, he would still want to see more.
Real Brother here. Just wanted to remind you about our new time, 10 a.m. Eastern on YouTube. We're the alternative to conservative, but all racist Marxist Bundy militia, Fox News and Donald Trump and Tea Party nut views are welcome.
It's the Real Brother Radio Show.
Brought to you by Black Trade Lines. Go to blacktradelines.com and register your business or service today. Join the Black Trade Circle, where empowerment is only a download away.
Do you use Viagra or Cialis? Have you been thinking about trying Viagra or Cialis? What if we could promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for Viagra, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $3. We'll do the math for you. You save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Want more? We'll give you 40 blue pills or 40 yellow pills for $99 and add 4 more pills free. You save more than $500. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what to do next.
You need to call 800-610-3497 and get your 44 pills for $99.
Stop overpaying for Viagra. Call us and start saving a ton of money for the exact same results. Ordering is fast and easy with your pills delivered to your door in an unmarked package.
Call us right now, 800-610-3497. 800-610-3497. That's 800-610-3497.
You're listening to AM/FM 247, music you love from the 40s, 50s, and 60s. Best talk radio all day and every day.
Join the conversation. Phone lines are open right now at area code 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 coast to coast.
We're going to go straight to the phone. Scotty, how are you, friend?
I'm surviving, Tanya. How's everyone up there in Virginia?
Oh, I'm doing fine. You all?
Scotty?
Doing good. Doing good, Scotty.
What prompted me to call in was the JFK quote. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. I mean, it just really seems to me that many people, not all people, but many people, especially in the black community, we will jump through all kind of hoops and gymnastics to justify not holding Obama accountable as we would any other CEO of the executive branch of the United States government. You know, when Bush, you know, he was late with the Katrina help, hey, people was holding him accountable. You know, nobody was putting it all on Bobby Jindal or any of the mayors of those little towns, because you have a federal government for a reason. The federal government exists to enforce federal law. And President Obama is the chief executive officer over the executive branch. So the EPA, all of those different agencies, the DEA, the CIA, all of that is under his leadership. And he can issue executive orders directing them to do this and do that at any time. And so, you know, we have to stop as a collectively as a people giving black people passes. And I'm talking about black politicians. We need to hold them accountable like we would anyone else. What do we do for what we've already done enough for America, don't you think? You know, people are dying and bleeding and getting maimed in their wars, people paying taxes. We got the greatest income inequality in the history of the United States going on. And I think if Dr. King was alive today, considering if he stayed true to his principles like he did, you know, up until his death day, he would be speaking truth to power to the U.S. government right now, regardless of the racial classification of the president. He will be holding President Obama accountable for the things that's in his power in the executive branch.
Well,
and that's just
Scotty,
a shame.
You don't think the governor or Governor Snyder should bear any responsibility to the mayor?
Of course they
and
do.
All the local people?
Do.
Before you know you hold President Obama, you know, totally accountable?
You hold everybody accountable for whatever it is their role in it was. The EPA, this didn't just happen like 6 months ago.
Right, I know. It's been going on for like a year or so.
Yeah, and people have been making complaints. I mean, look at that school in Detroit. You know, look at the conditions of some of our schools. There are like some schools like that in Charlotte. You have a federal government that's supposed to keep the states in check for this type of stuff.
But what I'm saying is it appears that they were covered. The state was covering stuff up because, like I said, had it not been for the pediatrician, this would still be going on. I mean, so
you don't think these people, Tanya, made a phone call to the federal government? I don't care if they didn't do it, if they did it anonymously. All those tens of thousands of people, come on now.
Well,
you know
my
they
thing is that,
the
my thing is that I go before that. I'm thinking that why was the state switching the I know why they were switching the water system in order to save money. Why didn't they switch it all over, you know, that affects some other areas besides that one?
Again, I'm not saying President Obama is to blame for the switching. What I'm saying is every level of government has its role and has its responsibilities. So whoever made that decision, yes, I think they should be held criminally responsible.
Right. That's what I'm talking about. Right, the governor.
We also need to know why the EPA, where's the checks and balances that the federal government is supposed to have so it don't even get this bad.
That's because the EPA and the local government were going back and forth over this issue, and the EPA doesn't have the jurisdiction to actually enforce them to do anything. All they can do
is... Well, did President Obama get on his soapbox and raise the alarm about what was going on? Most of the people worldwide right now or nationally, we're only just now finding out about Flint. And I just saw an article, they already got the prison population back drinking that water. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. But that goes back to the gatekeepers, you know. The state is going to keep everything
President
under wraps
Obama
and keep it from getting...
gatekeeper of the United States.
And Scotty, let me just say something to you that you just found that out. I remember when they reported it over 2 years ago that they took over Flint. So our unawareness of things that's going on in our community is our responsibility too.
Right, and President Obama has a lot of things on his plate, and I don't think he's watching.
See, there we go, making excuses,
Tanya. I'm not making excuses. I just don't think this particular situation that President Obama is watching, looking at reports, seeing what the water level or whether or not it's contaminated, that goes back to the state. And then, yes, you have EPA, but, I mean, it's not, that kind of stuff is not this kind
Did
of stuff that reaches
Did anybody get fired down. From the EPA yet? Has he fired
yet.
Anybody
like you said, yet?
Yet.
Not yet.
He has. Not yet.
Right.
Okay, we'll hold our breath and wait because they sure fired Shirley Sherrod real quick over a fake edited video, didn't they?
Okay. We're going to hold on. Well, I think they definitely, the governor should definitely step there, and definitely the mayor. I don't know if you've seen her, but she's a piece of work that shouldn't even be in office. But anyway.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Yes, ma'am. You can tune in to New Abolitionist Radio, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time on Black Talk Radio Network every Wednesday night. We talking about 21st century slavery and human trafficking and why the executive branch ain't doing all it can do to free some of these new slaves. Thank you.
Thank you, Fred. We appreciate it. Sunshine on line 2, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
Well, you took words out of my mouth, but I was saying that it starts from the bottom, and then if you can't get nothing at the bottom, you get up to the top. But I don't think Obama is to blame for this. I think it's been a cover-up, and somebody finally got heard, and it got to him. But I'm saying, you say it's powering the people, but people have been complaining about certain stuff and things have to get done, especially where I live at. We complain about this and that, but by us being that wealthy, we don't get heard. And then when we get heard, they ignore us because we don't have as much money or power as they do. And then a lot of people get scared because they're scared they're going to lose what they do have.
Right.
So it's like a catch-22. Damn if you do and damn if you don't.
Okay, that's a good point. Thank you, Sunshine. We appreciate it.
But it's a difference when somebody's giving you something. Okay, I'm blessed. I'm gonna say that, and I'm gonna keep on saying it. I can walk in Kroger. I don't take no coupons. I just go ahead and pick up what I want and walk out. But when somebody is giving you something, is restricting what you can do, you don't have the power. And the key here is, how long are you going to keep yourself in that kind of position? How many times are we going to allow ourselves to be on the dole all the time? Somebody got to give me. Somebody got to save me. Somebody got to protect me. Somebody got to stand up for me. Somebody. At what point do you do these things for yourself? At what point do you stand up on your feet and say, look here, this is not correct? And you say this all day, all night, take turns and get this taken care of, waiting for somebody to come and save it, come and give me, come and, man, please.
Okay. All
you
right.
You sound like you're a little angry over there, brother.
I can relate to what he's saying, just from when people loosely throw around, you know, the phrase economic spending power of certain groups. At the end of the day, economic spending power is all related to your ability to provide goods and services in exchange for monetary means. And if you don't have the means of supplying goods and services to the general public in exchange for money, realistically, you don't have economic spending power. You're at the mercy of whoever is giving you money for whatever you're doing. So if that means that you're an employee of a particular business, then you're at the mercy of that business that you're working for. Mm-hmm. You know, if you are receiving a handout from, some type of social service program, then in essence, you don't have economic spending power. It's just a misnomer, and as far as people are using that word so loosely.
That's a good point.
And you need to be careful. I mean, if you're getting food stamps when you get up to that counter, well, you can't have this and you can't buy that with these food stamps. If you're living in public housing, well, you can't have Big Mama, Big Mama got the house, but you got Junebug and all his cheering and everybody up in there with you. So as restrictive to what you can.
You showed yourself today. You have showed yourself today.
Remember, what's going to help me this evening?
Okay. No, but it goes back to getting involved in politics. It really does. And like you said, spending power to make a difference. Because when you're not involved, to me, that equates to your spending power. Because then you got other folks making decisions for you, doing what it is they want to do.
Well,
and it depends on whether or not you're going to get a job or not.
Because she heads up an association of like individuals.
Right.
And you cannot discount her power when it comes to addressing an issue.
But the thing is, voting power.
That too.
When you have voting power, folks pay attention to you.
If I'm in the 3rd district, yes, you better go on up in there where she at.
Sunshine, you back with us again? Go ahead.
Yeah, because they're starting to piss me off. When somebody going to stand up and all this stuff, this ain't got nothing to do with that. It ain't that we on the mess. I work every day like everybody else to pay taxes. I'm just saying my income is lower than some people and higher than some. I don't wait for nobody to hand me nothing or take a hand out or nothing like that.
Some people
can talk and get away with stuff, and some people can't.
Don't get all sensitive there, Sunshine. I won't talk about you.
No, wait.
I won't talk about you personally. I'm talking about us collectively. I'm talking about us collectively as black folk. I'm talking about us. I said I'm lucky. Yeah.
I use coupons because I want to save money because I'm no fool.
Yeah, but look, don't get all sensitive. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't saying it in a sense as an attack. I'm saying
I do what I can do, and I stand up on my feet. But some people got more power, and your power ain't better than your power.
I didn't say that as an attack on your power.
Black folks always wait for somebody.
Well, collectively we do. Collectively we do. Collectively we wait on. We wait, and we're not doing as.
Individually.
I'm not
individually.
Judging, period. I'm saying we need to do more.
If y'all want to put us in a group, don't group me.
We fight better in a group. We fight better in a group, and you are part of a group.
No, we don't. One black person get ahead, then forget about the rest. So we do not fight good together.
We don't. Don't get all sensitive. You know I love you.
Okay, Sunshine, thank you. Okay, you got some apologizing to do. You got some cleaning up to do.
For sure.
But I just told her she got power, but didn't I just say that?
She said she don't want you to put us all in a group.
You got her in her feelings.
Yeah, I think,
going back to from the power aspect of it and looking at it from, I guess, a little bit more of a positive standpoint after, you know, she was so upset about things, you know, what we got to look at, we have to look at, you know, the power that we have, and really we need to look at the power that we have to control our own communities.
Right.
And as we were talking about earlier about Dr. King and dealing with segregation and him being worried that, you know, not isolating us from opportunity,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily saying isolating us, you know, from you know, having white people live in our community or us being able to live in a white community, is isolating us from opportunity. Right. Because if you go back in time, you know, black neighborhoods, black people control their own neighborhoods.
I make my decisions on the basis of my moral commitment, and I take my ministry very seriously. I would not say that the civil rights movement is dead. It's simply that we are moving to a new phase of the movement. Well, now 12 years, we struggle to end legal segregation and all of the humiliation surrounding legal segregation. So it was a struggle for decency. It was a struggle to get rid of extremist behavior toward Negroes. Now we are in a new phase, and that is a phase where we are seeking genuine equality, where we are dealing with hard economic and social issues.
Today is Martin Luther King's birthday, and I can't help but ask the question, is it time that people of color recognize how much power, influence that we have amassed, that we no longer need to ask to be invited anywhere? I ask the question, have we now come to a new time and place where we recognize that we can no longer beg for the love, acknowledgement, or respect of any group? That maybe it's time that we recognize that if we love and respect and acknowledge ourselves in the way in which we are asking others to do, that that is the place of true power. I'm simply asking the question. Here's what I believe. The Academy has the right to acknowledge whomever they choose, to invite whomever they choose. And now I think that it's our responsibility now to make the change. Maybe it is time that we pull back our resources and we put them back into our communities, into our programs, and we make programs for ourselves that acknowledge us in ways that we see fit that are just as good as the so-called mainstream ones. I don't know. Here's what I do know. Begging for acknowledgement or even asking diminishes dignity and diminishes power. And we are a dignified people, and we are powerful, and let's not forget it. So, let's let the Academy do them with all grace and love, and let's do us differently. I got nothing but love. Hey, Chris, I will not be at the Academy Awards, and I won't be watching, but I can't think of a better man to do the job at hand this year than you, my friend. Good luck. And to the rest of you, nothing but love, always.
Blacktress Janet Hubert coming to you, not in a post, but sort of in a post. And I got to say, I've been trying to figure out, do I really want to do this? And yeah, I do. I do. Today being the celebration of Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday and hitting 60 years old, I'm at that point where I'm like, I don't give a kitty. I want to say something about Jada Pinkett Smith asking other actors, black actors and actresses, to boycott the Oscars. First of all, Miss Thing, does your man not have a mouth of his own with which to speak? And the second thing is, girlfriend, there's a lot going on in the world that you all don't seem to recognize. People are dying. Our boys are being shot left and right. People are hungry. People are starving. People are trying to pay bills. And you talk about some in Oscars. And it just ain't that deep. And here's the other thing. For you to ask other actors and other blacktresses and black actors to jeopardize their career and they're standing in a town that you know damn well, you don't do that. And here's the other thing. They don't care. They don't care. And I find it ironic that somebody who has made their living and made millions and millions of dollars from the very people that you're talking about boycotting, just because you didn't get a nomination, just because you didn't win. That is not the way life works, baby. Okay? And it's very suspect to me. And I seem to recall, 25, whatever it was. Look, I don't even remember. But I seem to remember at option time coming to you and saying, you know what, Will? You're the star of the show. Why don't we all get together? And with you, maybe we could get a little raise. Maybe the network, since you know the show is such a hit, and you being the star of the show, your influence would help us greatly, like they did on Friends, like white shows do. Remember that? Do you remember that? Because I do. And your response to me was, my deal, and y'all deal. Well, karma must be, because now here you are, you've had a few flops. And you know, there are those out there who really deserved a nod, and Idris Elba was one of them. Lord have mercy. Beast of No Nation was incredible. That man is an incredible actor. You are not, maybe you didn't deserve a nomination. I didn't think, frankly, you deserved a Golden Globe nomination with that accent, but you got one. And just because the world don't go the way you want it to go, doesn't mean that you can go out and then you start asking people to stand up and sing, "We Shall Overcome" for you. You ain't Barack and Michelle Obama. And y'all need to get over yourselves. You have a huge production company that you only produce your friends, your family, and yourself. So you are a part of Hollywood. You are a part of the system that is unfair to other actors. So get real. Now, for those of you who say, "Miss Hubert, here she go, being bitter." Please. It's not about being bitter. It's about being right. You know, some of us got mortgages to pay. We got bills to pay. We got bigger to worry about than the Oscars. The only Oscar I care about right now is Oscar Mayer Wiener with Mustard and Relish. And on that note, Black Christianity, you bet. Signing off. Peace, baby.
Okay. That was Janet Hewitt. The first one was Jada Pinkett, and they were voicing their views with regards to the Academy Awards, better known as the Oscars, an annual award honoring the achievements of those in the motion picture industry. And there are folks that are planning to boycott the ceremony because there were no people of color nominated. So, Pete, what do you think?
Well, I think there's no change. It's always been that way. We've had a few. I personally don't watch the Oscars. It just doesn't mean that much to me. And they achieve what they want to achieve when we buy tickets and go to the movie. The Oscar is just an afterthought. I feel that Jada has a right to her opinion. And I feel that Janet has a right to her opinion. There's really no right or wrong. I think that we are taking what these two people are saying that really carries no weight, and we're trying to make something out of it when it's all fluff. That's just my opinion.
Okay. Reverend?
Well, actually, the Academy Awards is politically oriented. Mm-hmm. I remember when Sidney Poitier became the best actor of the year with Lilies of the Field. And he played in movies much better than Lilies of the Field.
Yes, he did.
Denzel Washington, best actor. And the movie he received regarding his performance, in my opinion, was not the best. There were actors and actresses, or what they call them, thespians, who perform through the years, and it depends on the timing, depends on the political climate. So in terms of boycotting the Academy, well, we have other issues to work with and to address. And the someone asking, what's the comedian's name to step down?
Chris Rock.
Chris Rock not to host
it. Mm-hmm.
That's a lot to ask. Chris Rock is well read, he's very intelligent. He could use that moment as a platform to address this issue. But
he's making them nervous, though.
Right. Yes. That's what she is, for whatever reason or reasons. But it's just a political machine.
Okay. Trudy said, Jada's right. Janet is bitter. Nathan?
Oh, you're just going to save me for last.
Of course.
All right. At the end of the day, it just like, you know, Mr. Chavis has said, I don't watch the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when it comes down to motion pictures and things like that, I'm not going to necessarily say, hey, I'm on top of every movie that comes out, and I'm not the type of person that goes to the movies on a regular basis, you know. So it's not necessarily something that's on my radar screen, but I understand and I feel the pain of the actors who are not being honored for all of the work that they've done.
Mm-hmm.
But both of them have good points, you know. With Janet talking about how, you know, in the past they didn't come together collectively mm-hmm. to try to get their incomes raised.
Right.
That's a very valid point. For Jada saying, hey, don't go beg for an award, that's another valid point. So if we're going to talk about this particular topic, especially with looking at Black History Month being, you know, right around the corner and we're celebrating Martin Luther King's birthday, I can understand the relevancy to it, but there are a lot of other bigger issues that really, really, really need to be addressed. And with the Academy Awards, if I look at it this way, to all actors who are out there and aspiring actors, you go out and you do your job to the best of your ability. You work on your craft and become the best at whatever you're doing. And at the end of the day, whether the Academy Awards folks give you some type of trophy, give you some type of recognition, so what? At the end of the day, your peers know that you've done a great job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the end of the day, you're getting paid.
I want to echo that. You're right.
They're getting paid. Right. You're right.
But don't you think they want some recognition?
That's just like when you do an excellent, outstanding job. You're getting paid, but you want somebody to recognize you're doing an excellent job.
Of course. Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. So what you have to do is, what is boycotting the awards going to do? What is it going to affect outside of hurting yourself? For them, they're going to need to analyze the situation, and they're going to have to figure out another angle that's going to influence those folks who are voting on who's the best. And realistically, it has to be an economic influence.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, the ins and outs behind the scenes of the industry well enough to try to point the finger on which way to go about it.
Okay. Right.
But for those who are in that circle, they know what pulls the purse strings.
What strings,
And what type of power they have over the money that's coming in to try to influence these things.
Boycotting may not be the best solution.
And that's what I meant in terms of being politically oriented, mm-hmm. particularly behind the scene.
Okay.
It has always been that way. But, I like Samuel L. Jackson's approach. I mean, nobody's made more movies than Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
And he just asked one simple question. What's in your wallet?
Absolutely.
Okay, Bill.
Absolutely.
Oh, is it my turn?
Yeah, go ahead and wrap us up.
Well, look, I don't see any difference than what Sunshine is hating me over as far as those who have it and are trying to make it and those who give it and can take it away. When we have to sit in a hat in hand for somebody to give us something, we contribute mightily to that industry, and we always have. But we have not taken upon ourselves to recognize our own, to do it ourselves. I don't go, if it's in the movies, it'll be on HBO in 2 weeks. I can wait. Mm-hmm. Or I can sit in the barbershop Saturday and get a movie.
Okay.
My point. I'm sorry. My point is, just like we talk about everything else, that we can boycott. Everybody cannot boycott. So both of them are right.
Okay. All righty. Well, that's it. We're going to wrap it up. As always, I thank God, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for allowing us the opportunity to speak and hopefully heard. Thanks to our listening friends. Blessings to each and every one of you. And, of course, thanks to Bill, Reverend Woodson, Pete, Nathan, and Antoinette, Miera, Coffee Black, Roosevelt, Marcus, Mr. Free. I'm Tanya Free. Until next time, be free. Remember to live life with a purpose.
In a little tent, oh, and just like the river I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too die, 'cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Help me, please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there have been times that I thought I could last for long.
The Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show is a presentation of Freedom Marketing Incorporated. All rights reserved. Views and comments expressed are not necessarily the views of the host and/or this station.